This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
One of our absolute favorites, appropriately on Valentine's Day. Big black heart from me. All the emotions.
You're wearing a red heart.
I'm the one wearing all black here today.
I have a heart on my a hoodie today. So for one of my current favorite bands, The Backfires. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. How are you?
I'm great. I'm re-energized by this tournament. Is that lame? Like, I know everyone's like dunking on it. It's a glorified
ball. Oh, it's not lame.
We're here to talk about the trade deadline and trade deadline only. No, I'm kidding. Talk about whatever you
want. I have a question for you, Shayna, because Duffer posed a question as to, is the biggest question in the tournament moving forward is, will UC Saros play tomorrow against Sweden for Team Finland? It's been a terrible year for him, and it was not a good game against Team USA. But I'm going to spin it, because they just asked John Cooper, is Binnington starting tomorrow night for Team Canada against the USA? And he said, I got to talk to the goalies first. He's not confirming Binnington. Would you make a change? Do you, like, if you were in John Cooper's shoes, would you make a change and go to Aiden Hill?
I'd be calling Logan Thompson at home saying, get here now,
who
buddy.
Can get sick? Because Kale McCarr is sick. They called up Thomas Early, So could you say Montembeau's sick and all of a sudden you're calling somebody up?
Why not, right? Okay, I would switch goalies if I'm USA and Canada. Here's my hot take.
Whoa.
First of all, I thought Hellebuck was fine. He wasn't tested that much. I didn't love that first goal against me. He looked a little bit shaky. And immediately, we know the narratives of it. Like, can he handle a pressure environment? Like, I'm spinning these narratives, too. Because I am truly curious if it's that he's just so overworked or if it's, like, the pressure environment and I want to know more. But I wouldn't want Jake Ottinger sitting on my bench that long because you don't know if you're going to need him when it matters the most, right? If Connor Hellebuck doesn't thrive against Canada, he's not starting the next game or potentially the final if USA gets there. I would want to keep him fresh, right? And say, you have a great number two option. If I'm Canada, I didn't love Jordan Binnington on those goals against from Sweden. I don't love his game in general. I would say give Aiden Hill a goal. Like, worst case, you swap them out. But I'd rather that than have both goalies sitting on the bench for so long in between games. You disagree, and I can see it. The goalie disagrees.
I said Aiden Hill. Shayna, I told Duffer my mentions were entertaining this week because I said I think Canada should start Aiden Hill. I think it's a mistake to start Binnington.
Yeah, but now and what do you say?
The Rat of St. Louis came upon me saying that they would be last. Now I say you keep Binnington in. And if you have to make a change, you make the change going into the game against Finland. It may be too late for Team Canada by that point if they lose to USA tomorrow and Sweden, USA is going to be a big game on Monday. So who knows? But I think you got to keep Binnington in. That's the kind of way I look at it.
There's no fatigue factor in this tournament. It's four games max, no back-to-backs. These are professional, A-level hockey players.
I got mental fatigue.
Get somebody in for the sake of a little bit of time.
I wouldn't want them like waiting. Like they haven't played since last Saturday. Matter? That's a week off. Like think about the bye week when goalies come back and they look bad and it's like, oh, the rest versus rest conversation happens in the playoffs. But like, I don't know. Like you have Jake. I'm not saying, oh my God, start, you know, Calvin Pickard right here. I'm saying you have Jake Oettinger right there, one of the best goalies in the world. Like, I would want to give him some reps too. I don't know. Or you could easily just say, go with Hellebuck, and then if you have to make a swap for Monday, you do it, right? Like that, you have that ability. But I don't know. I would rotate him.
Why it's not? Valentine's Day. Shayna wants to stir it up a little bit. She wants to get in, man, and just twist it up a little bit. I like that. I think that's great. What about Kevin, how do you
Kevin Lankinen has his own net,
yes,
at Finland's practice. That from our NHL.com friend Dan Rosen.
Yeah, we have to figure Lankinen is probably going to get in for that big rivalry game between Finland and Sweden tomorrow. Lankinen's been great this season in Vancouver, a big reason why they are where they are, and Demko Ert again, who knows. Shayna, did you think that Matthew and Brady Tkachuk playing together were going to have that type of impact? Because the game wasn't going anywhere for Team USA. And all of a sudden, Mike Sullivan says, you know what, we'll put Tkachuk and Tkachuk with Eichel, and it changed. It completely changed. Did you see that type of impact and intensity and energy from both Tkachuks playing together?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like both Tkachuks on their own looked pretty good, so put them together. You know, not just that, you know, they're getting the chance to play with Jack Eichel, that's a moment. They want to play together. They're mm-hmm. brothers. They're so excited about this. So much has been made about the Tkachuk brothers throughout the hype up for this tournament, because it's like, look at them. They play so hard against each other. Let's see what they can do together. And I thought Matthew was great, but the star for me was Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk to me was electric. He was the standout player for Team USA last night. And the thing with him is, like, after the first period, he was leading the team in XG. And it's like, yeah, shocker, because he generally does that. When he takes shots, he tends to go to the highest quality areas of the ice. He deflects pucks. Like, those are all very valuable in XG. He just doesn't always convert on his chances. And we saw that this year with a 10-game goal drought in January. Like, that just happened. But we also don't know how he's going to look in a high-pressure environment. We haven't seen that since World Juniors. He hasn't been in the NHL playoffs yet in his first first six seasons. So here he is with the spotlight on him, and he took the opportunity and was just crushing it. So I think he already had that jump in his step. Now you add his brother to his wing, and it's a whole new vibe.
Best part of that, though, was when he was asked after the game what first went through his mind when Coach Sullivan said, Matthew and Brady, you guys are playing together. He said, I thought of my parents, my sister, everybody, my family. Like, this is the first time we get to play together in this type of, you know, high intensity. And we may never get to in the NHL. So he thought of his family, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's what you want to see in these tournaments, too. Like, as cheesy as it is, it's what you want to see. It's the same, you know, the other side of the spectrum is you look at Team Canada changing their lines, and you're seeing Brad Marchand and Sam Bennett being put together by Tampa Bay Lightning coach John Cooper. Like, you can't write it better, especially after all their playoff drama of the last 2 years. Like, this is what you want to see. And the clips in the locker room even, right? You're seeing Brad Marchand friend to all. Like, I think he might be the, like, most exciting part behind the scenes of the tournament, because you're seeing so much personality and how much everybody gets along, too. Like, I love that. It's just something different.
Called a guilty conscience when you've been that much of a jerk to people over the last 15 years. You
He's
tend to go out of your way.
Where's that crown with pride? Come on.
Yes, yes. So that leads me to the question of who will be suspended in this tournament for actions that cross the line?
Good question, right? Because that was something we didn't know going into this. Would this be physical at all? Because all-star games generally aren't. Players don't want to get hurt. And I think in the first game, you saw the physicality start amping up as the game went on and the competition got tighter. But last night, USA and Finland were hitting a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny because, you know, at times you're like, do you need to be this physical? But you're seeing it, right? Like Dahlin versus McDavid night one. Then you're seeing it last night. And there was that whole like chaos by the bench happening with Brock Faber falling into the pile and Charlie McAvoy and Mika. Like, okay, sure. Like the energy's there. If the suspensions are going to happen, I would assume it's going to be on Saturday. But I do think everyone's going to toe that line carefully, because you don't want it that you have to call someone out of vacation to take your place.
Do you think that we're going to see a fight in either Sweden, Finland, or USA, Canada? Because in high-intensity Stanley Cup finals, we've seen Jarome Iginla, Vinny LeCavalier. We've seen, like, in confrontation, maybe dropping the gloves. Do you think we're going to see a fighting major in either one of those two games tomorrow?
No, I think we're going to see a lot of unsportsmanlike from guys, you know, like Sam Bennett getting into it with, like, Brady Tkachuk. I think you're going to see things like that happening. I don't think you're going to see a fight because, you know, their fourth lines are other teams' first liners. Like, nobody wants to do that. No one wants to mess up their hands. But I think we're going to see some, like, high cross checks and some slashing and things like that and a lot of penalties. I'm very curious how quick the refs are going to be to break it up, too, because sometimes we see that, right? Like, in high-intensity games, they try to set the tone easily and quickly. Do you do that in this setting? Do you jump into it or do you not and let them cook because it's, you know, high intensity, best on best? Like, I really don't know the answer to that. That I think we'll find out pretty soon.
I would still like to see in this setting a massive NHL trade or two. Do you sense that we might see something before next Thursday?
No. You know what? It's funny because it was all that buzz leading into the break, right? Like, could this be a mini trade deadline and this and that and the other thing? And then it doesn't happen. And maybe it's because there was so much player movement before, you know, in the weeks leading up to it, these huge trades that no one saw coming. So does it happen during the break? I'm going to guess not, but I won't be surprised if maybe like Wednesday, Friday, it can start amping up a little bit more.
Now, Sidney Crosby's look good. Sidney Crosby may not finish his career in Pittsburgh. I was asked yesterday, what kind of trade proposal could you make to Pittsburgh for a Sidney Crosby? He's 37, going to be 38 this year. So, I mean, he may not want to trade the farm, but could you see a scenario where Crosby gets traded out of Pittsburgh this year or next year? And what would the return be? Like, are we dreaming that this would be like a big, big type of trade?
Before you answer, Brandon Hagel went for two firsts, and I don't care what the age difference is between when Hagel got traded and what Crosby is now. So consider that a starting
point. Two firsts is 50% of the return, I think, for Crosby. But anyway, Shayna,
right.
What do you
say? Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to disagree, because if Sidney Crosby gets traded, he's choosing his destination. There is no leverage in this one, right? And you kind of think of like the Patrick Kanes and the Vladimir Tarasenkos getting traded and, you know, leveraging where they want to go and you're not getting back what you want. Say you're the Penguins and he finally says he wants to go to the Avalanche and play with Nathan MacKinnon, the dream scenario for everybody, right? Next year. Say that happens. If you're Pittsburgh doing it, could you try to play hardball with the Avs? Absolutely. But if that's what Sidney Crosby wants, that is what he's getting. So you don't need to play games. You're not going to say, you know,
you
we're not going to trade for the good market. You don't do that to him. I think other players, maybe. I don't think that happens with him. I think they go, we're going to, out of respect for him, sticking with this tire fire for years, you just do what he wants. I don't think the return
fire
would be that. I
They're
think
less than a decade removed from back-to-back Stanley Cups. Come on.
Yeah, but now it's not looking good.
It doesn't matter. They're still in the hunt. Anyway, here's the thing.
In any other sport, maybe. Not in hockey. It doesn't work that way. The gentlemanly way and everybody's besties. Like, come on.
You're forgetting. You're forgetting how Crosby is wired. Sid would never not do right by the Penguins, even when leaving. So he would ensure that they do get
maybe
there's maximum,
two firsts, but that's it.
Well, I think it would be a stunning win for both the Penguins and whichever team wants him. Because I think it will, if it ever came to it, I think it will be a massive deal. Because I think what we're seeing from Crosby right now can still continue at least two more years. So you may still have three more elite playoff runs from Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
That is high, high value stuff.
At least
beyond,
3 years.
Right, look at last year. He had one of the best 35-plus seasons in the league. He didn't even have Jake Gensel for all of it, and he did it.
Right.
And he's still doing it this year. He makes everybody around him look incredible. And then pressure rises. Here's the postseason. Here's a tournament setting. And he's going to take his game up a notch. I mean, he is someone that could play until he's 42 and still be great. Like, that is, we always say with aging curves, right? Like, players decline into their late 30s and could be drastic and horrible from there. But when you're an elite player and your peak is so much higher, your average, you know, your down years are going to still be, you know, very high end.
Okay. Couple of defensemen. Erik Karlsson, who maybe is looking at this Four Nations tournament face-off to rye maybe up his value in Pittsburgh. And Noah Dobson. I don't really understand why the Islanders would trade Noah Dobson, but whatever. Like, I mean, those are two defensemen that may be in the market. What do you think happens with either one of those players?
I don't think anybody figures out a way to take on Erik Karlsson's deal until the offseason. The cap going up is going to help a lot there, and teams are going to have the opportunity to clear space first. I think that needs to happen. Noah Dotson's the more interesting one. If I'm an opposing general manager, I know he's having a down year this year. I am calling every day. And if I'm the Islanders, I'm not listening. I don't care what's happening this season, right? Because it's not just him. There's injuries everywhere. The team is flawed. They need so much help to be a true contender. I'm not worried about Noah Dobson's game. If they trade him, this is giving Taves 2.0, which was a mistake then. And it's funny to see the revisionist history now being like, well, he wasn't that good and he was carried by Scott Mayfield. Scott Mayfield has not been the same player since Taves left. He was a great player then. It was very clear he was going to be a great player for years to come. And if they wanted to afford that contract, they would have. So I hate that. Oh, it was a cap dump. I'm sorry. You lose the trade when you move out such a good player, especially for nothing in return. So I think you walk that same line if you do it with Noah Dobson.
I agree
100%.
Oh boy, what else could possibly be on this list? The Penguins, all of the Crosby stuff is interesting for obvious reasons, but if he's not traded, you best keep him at least one good player to play with, right?
Yeah.
And right now, Rickard Rakell's deal is cheap by NHL standards with 3 years to go at $5 million. Like, what? And he, of course, is now on the world stage in this tournament. Like, is Pittsburgh going to get blown away by an offer for Rakell here? Or is it just going to be like Pittsburgh's just going to rebuff any offer? It's an interesting dynamic right now based on where the Pens are, right?
It's a very interesting dynamic because you don't want to leave Crosby with nothing. And the other thing is, like, this isn't a rental player that you could turn around and say, come back on July 1st and play with Sidney Crosby again. He has multiple years on his deal. He's in his 30s. So I think there are going to be teams that have a little bit of pause about those later years. And if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm not offering to retain salary unless the price is that much higher to do it too, right? Because you're not just moving him to move him. I think you need to figure out something else. I really like Rakell, and I think it's going to be interesting for an acquiring team too, because you have to think sometimes when you look at guys on bad teams, you go, if we surround them with high-end talent on a contender, can they be so much better? Well, you're Rakell. Who are you giving him that's better than Sidney Crosby unless he's getting Nathan MacKinnon, right? Which is, I don't think, going to happen. So that's my one, like, challenge with it. If I'm a contender, I do want him, especially for the fact that he can just shift back to center. He did it right before the break in that game against the Rangers. He's barely played center in a while. He looked excellent. To his have that versatility, right? Why not?
His cap number this year and, you know, moving forward is so reasonable. That's why I think it'll be fascinating to see if somebody wants to, quote unquote, overspend for someone who's about to become a 30 goal guy for the first time in 7 years, I think.
Yeah, so. Second best scoring rate of his career when you look at points per 62 this year in all situations.
Yeah.
My question is going to be more geared towards a potential UFA that needs to resign. That's Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner didn't have a good game, I didn't think, on Wednesday against Sweden, but he scores a game-winning goal, and he needs a contract. So what does Toronto do with Mitch Marner? Do they give him all the money that they have to make him happy, or do they move on?
It really depends what he's asking for, and I think the increased cap can help and hurt in this situation, right? Because if he's asking for more because the cap is going up, in your Toronto, you have every reason to give pause to it, because as great of a regular season player as he is, and he is on both ends of the ice, you know, the postseason still matters, and you can't run it back that many times with the same core if the core is not helping, right? I'm not even saying like, oh yeah, the core is the problem, right? Like, but if you view that the core is the problem, then you need to think about it. I think that their scoring depth is more of an issue, and I have other qualms with Toronto that's not Mitch Marner, but I would take some solace in the fact that he could perform in a high-pressure situation, but there's only so much you're going to take from this tournament setting because he needs to still do it in the playoffs for the Leafs. But you look at it and you go, if they trade him before his contract's up to get rid of him, are you getting a slam-dunk return like the Avs did for Mikko Rantanen? Like, I'm not so sure about that. So it's not an easy situation, and I don't know if I trust management there to navigate it after we've seen them move out really high-end players and lose the trades in years past.
Super quick, did I hear you? Are you saying that the Avs did have a slam dunk return for Rantanen?
No, I think it's easy to say that in hindsight because they like Natchez is popping off. But, yeah. You know, now everyone's going, oh, they won the trade. I like the return. I don't love the return. I like the return for Rantanen.
It's a great comp, obviously, because Rantanen and Marner together were being talked about, like, what's next? And obviously, we know the fate of Mikko and we don't know the fate of Mitch yet. Happy Valentine's Day again. Thank you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this.